Now, Iran and Turkey, they are countries whose foreign relations have global significance. Will Turkey be embraced or rejected by the European Union? Will it fall out with the United States? Is Iran the enemy of Europe and the United States? Is its nuclear program worth a war? Big themes, and we can discuss them now with Stephen Kinzer, author of Reset, Iran, Turkey and America's Future, and Daniel Pipes of Stanford University. So, Stephen Kinzer, you've written this book which talks a lot about Turkey and Iran. And let's start with Turkey. What is your view, particularly with the US relationship now with Turkey and where it should go?
Turkey and the United States, of course, have been allies in NATO for many years, and they've been very close partners during that period. And Turkey has a society that's open and democratic and much resembles societies in Europe and in the United States. Nonetheless, in the last few weeks, there's been sudden tension in this relationship. Part of it is due to the Gaza flotilla episode, which irritated some people in Washington. Part of it is due to Turkey's effort to negotiate a deal on a nuclear swap with Iran, which also irritated some people in Washington. But I think behind these particular incidents lies a larger, growing psychological or geopolitical disconnect, and it's this. Turkey is essentially telling the U.S. that the rise of the middle powers, which everyone agrees will be some kind of a phenomenon of the 21st century, is already a reality, and that Turkey, along with other middle powers like Brazil and Russia and India and Mexico and so forth, really have bigger power now and should be paid more attention to. The United States is not quite there yet. We're still trying to hold on to the old paradigm where we ruled, and I think this disconnect is what lies behind this friction of recent weeks between Turkey and the United States.
So your basic point is the U.S. should accept greater Turkish power, actually.
I'm a believer in dealing with the world as it is. I think Turkey has emerged in these last few years as a very important player, and Turkey's example, the example of a democratic country with a capitalist economy, is just the example that we would want to promote in the Islamic world. Therefore, anything we can do to encourage and promote Turkey as a an example of these values, as long as it remains such an example, is good for us.
Yeah, let me bring Daniel Pipes in on that point, because you have spent much of your life studying radical Islam. Do you think, you know, the European Union and the United States to some extent are failing to see the great example that Turkey is setting in the Muslim world?
I would make the opposite argument. The United States and Europe have been blind to the incredible change that took place in Turkey in 2002, 2003, where it went from being an ally to being a foe. And it's only in the last few weeks that Americans and Europeans have woken to this fact. The Islamists came to power in Turkey in November of 2002, and they are a same version of what one finds in Iran. Of course, a democratic version, a capitalist version, but they still are going for the same goals, namely application of Islamic law or the Sharia. So this has been a long time coming. I'm someone who said, you know, we have to wake up to this back in 2004 and 5. This is a real problem. Finally, I mean, there's a silver lining here. Finally, because of the forward steps, the slightly outrageous steps the Turkish government has taken, we've woken to the fact that, oh, this is no longer our ally of decades past.
So just to get that clear, you're saying that the goals of the Turkish government are the same as those of Iran?
Mm-hmm. Application of Islamic law, nationally and globally.
Stephen Kinzer.
First of all, I don't think there's been an incredible change in Turkey's policy, and Turkey has not become a foe of the United States or the West, and the prospects that Sharia law will ever be introduced in Turkey are slim to none. Turks really understand what they have, and they realize that religious rule is going to take that from them. So I don't see that there's been a dramatic change in Turkish society, except that Turkish society has become more democratic. Turks are now able to say what they really believe, unlike in past decades where, because of the limited democracy, they had to mouth these secular platitudes that came from the Ataturk era in the 1920s. All we're seeing now is that Turks are able to be who they really are, and it turns out that a lot of them are pious believers, but that doesn't mean that this is turning into an Islamist state, something like Iran.
Okay, we want to move on to Iran. Do you want to respond to that, Daniel Pipes, before we do that?
I can't predict how much of Islamic law will be enforced, but it's already there. One can see it step by step being enforced, whether it be women-related issues or alcohol-related issues or so many other things that are transforming Turkish life.
Right. Now, let's bring Iran into this too. And I guess Stephen Kinzer would argue, and we'll let him do so in a moment, that this is another middle power that is emerging. Daniel Pipes, is it essential for the West to oppose Iran?
Well, it's not our choice. The Iranians have declared themselves to be our opponents. The president of Iran a couple of years ago was at a conference, a commissioned conference, called The World Without Israel and the United States. That's a pretty aggressive stand for the head of government to take. We need to note this and respond to it accordingly.
And what is accordingly?
Accordingly specifically means that as the Iranians are building up a nuclear infrastructure, we must stop it.
Is that within our power?
Of course it is.
How?
We have the means to impede their building nuclear bombs. We can use force to obstruct their nuclear infrastructure.
Right. Stephen Kinzo, the nuclear program is worth a war.
I wouldn't go that far. I do feel that it is a terrifying prospect for another nuclear-armed state to be emerging in the world. I don't want any more of those. I do feel, however, that Iran is a power in the Middle East, whether we like it or not. It's the big country right in the middle. You can see that when you look at a map. None of America's security goals in the Middle East are going to be able to be reached without Iran, or without Israel, for that matter. To try to punish and sanction these countries and push them into corners and make them feel alone and friendless is not going to produce the reduction in tensions that is good for Israel and good for American interests in the Middle East.
Do you think there is a double standard, Daniel Pipes? Israel can have a nuclear bomb, apparently, and Iran can't?
Of course there's a double standard. Israel is a democratic, liberal country. Finland can have an atomic bomb, too. I've got no problem with it. But when you have not only a dictatorship run these days basically by the Revolutionary Guard Corps, but a messianic leadership that talks about the end of days and the coming of the Dajjal and the Mahdi and the Yom al-Qiyamah and so forth, you're talking about an extraordinarily dangerous leadership, well, perhaps even more so than Stalin or Mao.
Many of those conditions apply in Pakistan. They've got a nuclear bomb. No one seems to be desperate to take it out.
Well, no, there's not a messianic leadership there. It could change, but at this point there is a rather sober leadership there and not a danger to the outside world.
Stephen Kinzer.
I agree that the prospect of a nuclear-armed Iran is highly disturbing, and the fact that they're conducting their policy in a non-transparent way and at the same time testing ballistic missiles is very disturbing to the outside world, as it should be. However, our question should be, what's going to work? How are we going to make this policy stop? How can we affect it? Sanctions, even those who are promoting the sanctions agree, are not going to work. So what is going to work? Our policy of not talking to Iran and refusing to make a broad offer of negotiation in which we might consider Iran's interest has just led to a situation where we've got more and more centrifuges spinning and no end to this project.
Well, Daniel Pipes has given you the answer, force.
I don't believe that force ultimately is going to be either effective. Even our own Secretary of Defense has said it would only buy us a year or two. And in the long run, it's going to liquidate a great strategic asset for the U.S., which is the strongly pro-American sentiment of the Iranian public, which I witnessed when I was just there a few weeks ago, and which every public opinion poll shows.
As Daniel Pipes' final point, I mean, Iraq has taught that, hasn't it? I mean, he's right.
We don't know what the effect of an attack on the nuclear infrastructure would be. It could be that Mr. Cantor's right, and there'll be a rejects the United States, it could be that the opposite would happen, that the Iranians would turn against their own government in fury. Look what you've done. Look what your stupid policies have led to. You said we'd get stronger through nuclear buildup. In fact, we're weaker. I don't know. I don't know what the outcome will be.
Thank you, gentlemen. Daniel Pipes and Stephen Kinzer. And that's it for this edition of News Hour. Thanks for listening.